I'm going to just have a really short message because we have got other things to do today. And it's going to feel a little bit like crossing this big wide stream. And I need to get to the other side of the stream. And about the only way to get over there rapidly without getting wet is to just jump across the stones to get to the other side. And I feel like that's about all we have time for this morning. So just jump across the stream with me this morning. We're going to just catch a couple different rocks and get to the other side. And then hopefully over the next couple months, as we begin fleshing out relationships together, we can kind of come back and revisit some things if we need to. Last week was part one. So if you missed last week, you missed part one. Foundation for relationship. Last week was part one. Today is part two. And I just kind of as a get-go, I want to just help us think through a few reflections of our morning already. First thing we did was begin to gather. I get here about the same time every morning, Karen and I do, and there's already cars in the parking lot. And when I come in the door, there's usually people up here getting ready for worship. And so they're beginning to figure out how to be in harmony together and connect together in a way that sounds good. And so there's a lot of gathering going on there. And then as more people show up, I see handshakes. I see and hear words of greeting, people looking in each other's eyes. Maybe there's people exchanging names because you've never met before. There might be some hugs and some kisses on the cheek. But there's a sharing of coffee together, and a lot of that's happening out in that nice, large, roomy foyer. And then there's some who arrive earlier than others, and you gather in rooms, and you begin to study the Word together and encourage each other in the Scriptures and our Sunday school hour. And then we gather a little closer, and we worship Jesus in song, and we mixed our voices together, and I think even the lyrics of the songs begin to all kind of shape our thoughts and kind of connect our thoughts together and maybe even our emotions, because we all feel different emotions when we worship the Lord. And yet because we're all doing it together, kind of all that begins to come together and shape together. And then we came together and sharing our concerns, our pains, our thanks, are bringing our request to God in corporate prayer, and that kind of openness and vulnerability happens as well following the service when different people come up front to have the elders pray with you. And there's kind of this one heart and there's one focus asking that the Father's will would be done in whatever our situation is, and that His will would be done on earth like right now, just as it is in heaven. And so there's this coming together in that way. And then we shared together in the New Covenant meal of remembrance, sharing the cup and the bread. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He said, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation or a communion in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation or a communion in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are now one body, for we all partake of one loaf." We all partake of one loaf. There's this participation, communion, fellowship, a uniting together takes place when we gather around the bread and the cup. We who are many are now one body. And our fellowship, our unity, our coming together is in Jesus Christ, who is our source of life. So I would just say that in the last hour or so, probably without even thinking about it, we've declared volumes about what it means to be in relationship as the body of Christ. Everything I've just described to you is all part of being in relationship as the body of Christ. And we didn't even think about it. We just did it. I'd like to think I'd like us to think about a word this morning. It's the word's intimacy. Intimacy. Did you notice the increasing intimacy as I walked through us arriving in the parking lot until we are right now? Everything has been drawing us together more and more intimately. This is kind of an aside, but I just had somebody who hasn't attended here real often say to me this morning, like, what happened? What'd you preach on like 9 months ago? Like, there's babies everywhere around here. I'm like, intimacy. Intimacy. So last Sunday, I made the case that the foundation for every relationship is that humanity was created to multiply the image and likeness of God on the earth, to fill the whole earth with the glory and love of God. In Genesis, just a quick review, Genesis 1:28 tells us that God blessed Adam and Eve, who were perfect at that point, created in the likeness of imaging God and full of the very breath of God or the very life of God. And God blessed them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, to multiply God's image on the earth, to multiply God's glory and his love filling the whole earth. And then in Jesus Christ, as we've recognized this morning, we, humanity, fallen, sinful, rebellious, selfish creatures are restored, were recreated, were reborn, born again to do the very things that God created for us in advance to do, Ephesians 2:10 in a nutshell. So again, the foundation for relationship is understanding our created purpose, that we were created to multiply God's image, filling the whole earth with his love and glory. And I'd like to suggest that another very important part or foundation for relationship and multiplication of God's image on the earth is intimacy, intimacy. Multiplication requires intimacy. The basis, the underlying principle of relationships or our connections that multiply is intimacy. If there's no intimacy, there's no multiplication. You know that stuff, right? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says it this way. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It's just what I talked about. Our purpose is to love and do the things that God created in advance for us to do. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, there's something about doing life together that spurs us on, that encourages us. I would even go so far as to say trains us and forces us to learn how to love and do good deeds, or to fill God's earth with God's glory. We can't do that in a vacuum. There's an intimacy required to actually allow our love to grow and to flourish, the love that God poured into us. We can't do that in a vacuum. And I think that's why the writer of Hebrews simply says, don't stop meeting together. As a church, as a family, as a worship group, as a coffee group, whatever, we have to do life together. There's something about doing life together that spurs us on, that teaches us and trains us and forces us to love. By ourselves, apart from intimacy, we do not multiply God's love, because selfless love is expressed in action, in relationship. So we celebrated and remembered the new covenant of the blood of Jesus a few minutes ago. A covenant that was ratified, that was validated not by us, but by the blood of Jesus. And as many of you know, many, many years ago, God had made a covenant, which is often called the Old Covenant, with a man named Abraham. Abraham and his descendants. If you remember, God blessed Abraham, but the blessing was for more than just Abraham, right? Yeah. God told Abraham, because of your faith, that he would be a blessing to his descendants and to all the peoples of the earth through his descendants. There's going to be multiplication of this covenant that God made because of Abraham's faith, a multiplication of God's blessing to the peoples of the world. I was struck recently, about a month ago, reading through the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, of what happened when God's people lost sight of their covenant purpose of being a blessing to the nations. They lost sight that their purpose was to fill the earth with God's love and with God's glory. And this is what the prophet Hosea had to say. He said it to the Israelites, to God's covenant people. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. Listen to what he says. There's no faithfulness, there's no love, and there's no acknowledgement of God in the land. Think about that. No faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. And he's talking to God's covenant people. There's only cursing. And he's not talking about swearing. He's like talking about cursing instead of blessing. In other words, speaking death over each other instead of speaking life. There's only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Then he says, because of this, actually the whole land begins to mourn, and all who live in it waste away, and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. When God's covenant people, and because of Jesus, we are God's covenant people, when we forget what our purpose is, and we don't live intimately with God with no faith and no love and no acknowledgement that he even exists, it begins to affect everything around us. And the whole creation begins to crumble. Not just people, but the whole creation, even the land, the animals. Everything begins to suffer when God's covenant people forget what their created purpose is. Let's jump forward to verses 10 and 11 of Hosea 4. He's continuing to talk to the priest and the people. They will eat, but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not increase. Because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, old wine and new wine, which take away the understanding of my people. What really grabbed me about this was God's covenant people, they were going through the motions of what covenant people were supposed to do. But it says they were prostituting themselves. A lot of versions say they were whoring around. In other words, their affections were all over the place. There was no intimacy with God. And when there's no intimacy with God, there's no increase of God's glory and his love on the earth. They were following after their idols. It's actually what it means by prostitution and whoredom. Their affections were focused on idols. They were giving their idols their attention. They were focused on self, on love of self, ignoring intimacy with God. That's a sad picture of God's covenant people. No intimacy, no increase. No intimacy, no increase. I was trying to think of a picture of what it looks like when someone or a group of people forget that they were created, what they're created for and what their purpose is of being a blessing to all the peoples of the earth for generations and for generations. And I had to think of King Hezekiah, another old covenant guy. He was a king. He was one of the leaders of God's people. Scripture actually says that Hezekiah was a good king. He was a good king. And he actually tore down a lot of the idol worship and things like that, and he did what right in the eyes of the Lord. And he trusted in the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. Isaiah was sick one time, and he like begged God to spare him, and God added 15 years to his life. Hezekiah sought after the Lord. But towards the end of his life, Hezekiah began to focus his affections on other things, namely his wealth and his safety. And his intimacy with the Lord began to suffer. And God announced this future judgment that was going to come. It was going to come after Hezekiah was already gone from the earth, but it was going to deeply affect Hezekiah's children and his descendants. A lot of them were going to die, be carried off. Do you know what Hezekiah's response to that was? 2 Kings 20:19 has this to say. This is Hezekiah's response to the Lord's judgment that was coming because Hezekiah began to focus on his own self and his own wealth and his own safety. This is his response. He said, "The word of the Lord is good, for he thought, will there not at least be peace and security in my lifetime?" He became so short-sighted that he only began to worry, like, it's okay that judgment's coming because I know that it's going to be okay for my lifetime. I mean, really? What happened to being a blessing to the nations for generations and generations and generations? Can we get that short-sighted? Like, well, you know what? The world's going to hell in a handbasket, but I think I'll make it through till I die. I mean, if that's our attitude, we've totally missed out on our covenant purpose, our created purpose of filling the earth with God's glory and his love. I'm going to close, and I'm just getting started. I told you I was going to keep it short this morning. I should touch on what is the foundation of our intimacy with God as New Covenant believers. Our intimacy with God is because of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who initiated the intimacy. He came to us. The whole month of December, we talked about how God came to us, Jesus. Jesus initiated the intimacy. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. I read these verses last week. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The blood of Jesus bought us intimacy with God so that we could live out our created purpose. I don't have slides for this, but I'm just going back up to 1 John 2. If you want to turn there, I've got several verses to read. 1 John 1:2 says this, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, our one defense, our righteousness." We just sang that this morning. "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world." There's right there just a little arrow pointing towards our creative purpose. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Once we've now become part of that new covenant, our purpose is to what? Spread that love, that glory of God to the whole world. Fill the earth. And then he goes on, "We know that we have come to know him." Here's intimacy, folks. Gnosko. To have union, to be intimate. "We know that we have come to know him, be intimate with God, with Jesus, if we obey his commands. The one who says, 'I know him,' or 'I'm intimate with him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So when we start saying, you know what, Jesus, he's my guy. I'm going to follow Jesus. Scripture says, then we do what Jesus did. We follow after him. Jesus made it really simple. He said, deny yourself. So enough of the self-love stuff. Take up your cross. You might have to do it more than once. And then follow me. Just do the things that I did, submitting to the will of the Father. It's not about me anymore. It's about pointing to the Father. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And then jump over to verse 20 of 1 John 2. "But you, those of you who are in covenant with God because of Jesus Christ, have an anointing, the Holy Spirit, from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Keep that intimacy, and the intimacy is Jesus. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Our intimacy with God is based on Jesus Christ alone. It's not based on our human tradition, our human achievement. It's not by obtaining some super spirituality. Our intimacy with God comes through Jesus Christ. Can we cultivate our intimacy with God? Can we cultivate our intimacy with God? Sure. How do we do that? I'm just going to make it real simple. We trust and obey. We trust and obey and follow after Jesus. My experience is if I'm going to obey someone, like I have to know them. I have to build a relationship. I have to be vulnerable. I have to take little steps and allow themselves to prove themselves. Trust requires a growing intimacy and vulnerability. Ultimately, any intimacy that we have with God comes through Jesus Christ and our willingness by faith to begin to be vulnerable with Jesus. I'm not going to try and explain that. I think you know what I mean. Just begin to share your heart with Jesus. Allow him to see you as you really are, which means confessing our sins, repenting of our sins, and all of a sudden we've got freedom instead of getting struck dead, and that builds trust. And we want to obey even more. Like I said, I'm skipping over the stones. But it seems wise to me to regularly take notice of what is multiplying around us. Let me say that again. It seems wise to me to regularly take notice of what's multiplying around us. That will reveal what or who we are intimate with. Is the love of God and the glory of God multiplying around us, or all kinds of things that have no eternal value, and as the prophet Hosea said, actually begin to bring death to the land? Church, we may be individually and corporately, may we never take our eyes off of Jesus. It was already read this morning, he is the author, he's the foundation, and the finisher, the one who brings to completion our faith. It is Jesus, in Jesus, that we have intimacy with God, resulting in God's image and his love and his glory filling the whole earth. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that multitudes of people in Revelation from every tribe, every nation, every color, every language, I feel like I'm missing some, are going to gather and worship Jesus. Can I be so bold to say there's not even going to be any walls between them? See, Jesus breaks down all the barriers. Jesus allows his body to actually have intimacy with each other and with God. What are we multiplying, church? It'll reveal who or what we're intimate with. That's a short version of Foundation for Relationship, Part 2. Intimacy with God results in intimacy with each other that goes beyond any kind of barrier that can be set up on the earth. Amen?